This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King MOX.
Scott Warman in for Matt Pauley. Great to have you with us here on a Wednesday. And as we just mentioned on the news, when driving in here to the studios at KMOX, as they say, you got to tend into it because, man, the car is going all over the place with those gusts of wind. Holy smokes, folks. This is just obviously a crazy time. Snow tonight, tornadoes on Friday, 80-degree weather. Just flip a coin. Who knows what's going to happen? Great to have you with us here in our final hour, our Sports Open Line. We're going to have some fun, talk some college basketball. Coming up here momentarily, Scott Highmark. Of course, most of you know him, the Billiken Hall of Famer, part of the SLU telecast for many years. We're going to talk some March Madness with him as we'll get his thoughts on who he thinks are favored to win the tournament and the big dance that starts officially with the big first round tomorrow. Of course, we have the play-in games. We had two of them last night where Alabama State won in a thriller, and North Carolina, who everybody was upset that they made the tournament, but they scored 95 and they beat San Diego State and move on to the opening round. Right now, the first of the first four doubleheader today, Mount St. Mary's is leading American. Both of those are 16 seeds by a score of 56-51. And then the last game of the first four will be tonight as Texas will be taking on Xavier. SAUE taking on the Houston Cougars tomorrow. They'll tip it off at 1 o'clock from Wichita. And then the University of Missouri, the Tigers are in action as they will tip it off at around 6:30 tomorrow. That game will be on True TV as they will take on the champions from the Missouri Valley Conference, the Drake Bulldogs. And again, that will start at 6:30. Scott Highmark will join us. And I'll tell you this, and I've been doing Missouri Valley Conference basketball, gosh, 20, 21 years. And Drake's one of the great stories. Just like I think SIU Edwardsville is just a tremendous story. You think about SIUE joining Division One not even 20 years ago and now getting their first opportunity to go dancing, which is just such an awesome story. I think Mizzou is a great story, but to lose a prime coach in Darren DeVries that Drake lost last season, he goes to West Virginia. Now Darren has made news as now after 1 year at West Virginia, He is going to take over the head coaching duties in Bloomington, Indiana for the Indiana Hoosiers, which I know our own Tom Ackerman is pretty pumped up about. So Darren DeVries leaves, and so Drake was like, well, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to go to Northwest Missouri State. There's this guy by the name of Ben McCollum. He's won a few national championships with this Northwest Missouri State team. And so then he brings over, Ben gets the job in Des Moines, and he brings four of his guys over from Division II, and now they're going to Division I. And they won over 30 games. And not only winning in the Missouri Valley Conference, they beat some Power 4 teams along the way. They beat Vanderbilt. They beat K-State. They beat a couple other teams, Power 4, during their non-conference. And I know a lot of people, especially Mizzou fans, are like, hey, you know, you do Valley games. What do you think? We're kind of worried about this. And I think there should be some concern. Look, Mizzou is talented. I think the turnaround from what was last season to this season for Coach Gates is an incredible story. And I'm so happy to see Mizzou basketball back as I, you know, tell all of my other Mizzou friends and buddies. I think what's going to be interesting in this game is the fact that the Mizzou Tigers like to get up and down the floor, like most teams. And I can tell you, as a broadcaster and doing some Drake games this year, they play at a very slow pace. I mean, they will take it down to the final seconds before they put up a shot. And I think if they get into a situation, Drake that is, where they can slow Mizzou's pace down to their pace, they're going to give Mizzou fits. Because if you're not in your rhythm like that, when you're playing that up-tempo game, your shots are not going to fall down. You're going to have turnovers. It can drive you crazy. As a broadcaster, I like the up-tempo game, trust me. And when you're seeing this team grind it out and they're very well coached and that's what drives you fits, it's going to drive you fits when you're on the floor. Now, Mizzou is a very talented, athletic team that is very deep. I can win either way. Either Mizzou wins or Drake wins, which is great for the Missouri Valley Conference. Can Drake pull it out? Sure, they can. Do I think that the percentages are that high? No, I think if it plays out the way it should, I think Mizzou eventually probably will pan out with the victory. But I think this is going to be a terrific matchup between Mizzou and Drake. Now I say that and probably somebody will blow somebody else out, because that's normally the way it goes. Because normally when I make my bracket out, which I haven't done yet, but I will do tonight, by Saturday it's already in the trash can because I get so frustrated with it. But it is a great, fun time of the year. And when we come back on Gray Bar Sports Open Line, Scotty Highmark, the Billiken Hall of Famer, will talk all things March Madness, and we'll talk some SLU basketball as well with the Billiken Hall of Famer when we come back on KMOX.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, yes, the madness is about to get underway here in the month of March. One of the great events, sporting events in our country, the NCAA Men's Division I Basketball Tournament fires into full gear tomorrow. We got some local teams that will be playing tomorrow in March Madness. And none other better guest to join us right now here on the Voice of St. Louis, Billiken Hall of Famer, Scotty Highmark. How you doing, my man?
Hey, Scott. It's always good to be with you, man. It feels like it's Christmas Eve and Christmas is tomorrow. The tournament starts and the fun begins.
So back in the day, for those youngsters that might be tuned in to the Voice of St. Louis, Scotty, of course, a Hall of Fame career, and he and Clags and aged. Well, you made it to the tournament. Tell us what that was like for you to be in the big dance and going into, you know, national TV, big arenas. What was that for you like?
Well, it was kind of a tale of 2 years. My junior year, we were the very first game on Thursday in 11:20 in Wichita, and we played Maryland. And I remember walking out on the court, Scott, and I saw Billy Packer and Jim Nantz, which were like the team,
right,
doing our game. And we were the first game in the tournament. And I remember walking out on the floor going, wow, this is a big deal. And then, unfortunately, we lost that game. And I remember being back at my apartment at SLU. We played at 11 o'clock. We were probably done about 1. We flew back at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm watching the NCAA tournament, thinking to myself, did I just play in the NCAA tournament? Because I'm back at my apartment watching the tournament.
That was quick.
So It was quick. The next year, my senior year, we actually won a game, got to stay the weekend. We beat Minnesota, played Tim Duncan in Wake Forest. Ooh. That actually felt like an amazing experience because it was a great way to finish our college career. So it was amazing. It was, you know, to have your one shining moment was a really cool way to cap my college career.
So you see Packer and Nance, I mean, are your eyes as big as saucers right there? Like, oh my God, we're really here. Holy smokes.
Yes. And you remember Coach Spoonauer was our coach, and we were in the locker room 3 minutes before the game. One of my teammates, Donnie Dobbs, he says, Donnie, are you nervous? And Donnie was, you know, always very confident. He said, no, I'm not nervous at all. And Spoon says, well, why do you have your jersey on backwards? True story. He literally had his jersey on backwards. He was so nervous. So we were a little uptight that first year. And, you know, Spoon had a way of trying to loosen us up, but it was just a little big, but too much of a big stage for us that first year.
Donnie Dobbs, one of my all-time favorite players, literally. You talk about, what was he, like 6'2", 6'3", but was just a rebounding machine for you guys. He was absolutely tremendous. All right, so we get a kick started tomorrow, and obviously there's always great storylines. I mentioned this in the first hour. The three that kind of are centric to where we live here in St. Louis. First is what's going on in Edwardsville with the Cougars. I think it's just awesome. You know, they just became Division I, 15 whatever years ago, and they're finally going dancing for the first time.
It's so cool. I mean, Coach Brony's done such a great job.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, growing up in St. Louis like you and I have, we've been following that program. I mean, back in the day when they were, you know, very, very competitive, maybe even dominant Division II program, and then making that transition, it's been such a struggle for that program. But to kind of cap it off and build a foundation there, and what he's done and the university has done, is just so cool. You know, whatever happens, you know, in their game, it doesn't really matter. They've already won, and just so happy for him. And remember his father, Tony Barone. So just super happy for the Cougars.
And they'll tip it off at 1 o'clock against the Houston Cougars. Then later in Wichita, it'll be the champions from the Missouri Valley Conference, the Drake Bulldogs, as they will take on the sixth seed. That's the seed that the Missouri Tigers, who kind of stumbled late at the end of the season, still get a sixth seed. But again, I think it's a tremendous story from what had transpired in Columbia last year compared to what Coach Gates has put together this season.
Well, it's an amazing turnaround that Coach Gates and the team have done there in Columbia. But I think from a local level, the most interesting matchup for sure. You know, you know the Missouri Valley Conference as well as anybody, Scott. I mean, that what a fun team to watch Drake and Ben McCollum make the transition from Northwest Missouri to Drake and take four of his starters with them. And it's just going to be an interesting game on a lot of different levels. Four of their starters are from Missouri. So you knew they grew up being Tiger fans. Now they're playing against the Tigers in the tournament. Drake plays one of the, I'd say slow, but they reduce the number of possessions in the game. And it'll be interesting to see if they can continue that pace or if Missouri can get them to play a little bit faster. But, you know, with Missouri, they just got so much talent. I mean, they go 13, 14 deep, yep. Assuming Mark Mitchell's healthy. Caleb Grill's one of the most interesting players in college basketball to watch for me. And they're just so deep, so talented. I think that's going to be a really hard first-round game against Sturts and Drake. But if they can win that game, I think they could win a few games, Scott, and get to that second weekend because they are so deep and talented.
Well, I just mentioned this right before we went to a break and put you on the air is the fact that doing some Drake games, they slow the game down so much that I think that is actually going to agitate the Missouri Tigers. And you know this, if you play an up-tempo game and the other team's forcing you to slow it down because they'll take almost all 30 seconds on the shot clock.
So
that forces you to do things that you normally don't do, where then you have turnovers, you're taking shots that you normally don't take, and it just gets you out of sorts. And I think that at least is my prediction that could start some confusion, at least as far as Mizzou is concerned.
Well, and that goes back to, my playing for Charlie Spoonhours. He always said, when you're playing a team with more talent, you have to reduce the number of possessions in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your best chance. And I just think, and you saw Drake play a ton, Scott, is that with their veteran guards, I think they're going to be able to dictate tempo. And if they don't turn the ball over and let Missouri get out and run, I think it's going to be a tight game. I think at the end, Missouri's got more talent and will probably prevail, but I think it's going to be a dogfight because I think Drake is experienced, they're cool, they're collected, and they've, when you win 30 games and run through the valley like they did, they're going to be ready.
Yeah, and they've had some tough competition against Power Four schools during the non-conference season where they had success as well. So you and I are kind of on the same boat. I want to get back sort of kind of to Sunday as we get into this, and obviously the topic of conversation is, how many teams from the SEC? 14. That's a lot, man. Are we heading in the wrong direction getting all these teams from one particular conference?
Maybe. Maybe, but when you watch, the eye test, you watch the SEC all season long, you look at these teams and you're like, wow, I mean, Texas A&M is a team. Mississippi State is a team that could make a deep run. They're super talented, super physical. A&M, for one, I mean, they get more second chance shots on the offensive glass than just about anybody. Yeah, it pains us that those that like the upsets and are fans of the mid-majors, as you and I are, because we like to see, you like to see a McNeese State, you like to see Utah State, you want to see some of these teams, Colorado State, make a run. That's what makes the tournament so magical. So you do wonder with the haves and the have-nots and the NIL and the transfer portal, is that going to just price out all of the mid-majors and the high double-digit seeds as we move forward? I don't know how they're going to do it. They're talking about expanding the tournament, but you got to keep the magic of the tournament is the upsets in the first and second round. So while my eye test tells me that the teams in the SEC are deserving, you got to find a way to preserve the mid-majors so that they can make a run. I mean, that's what makes it so magical.
And when you were playing, and you know this, even watching the other teams when you were playing back in the 90s and it has gone through, is the story that normally comes out of it, more times than not, isn't the national champion. It's the who was the Cinderella in 2022? Who was a Cinderella in 2015 or whatever? That's always the big story, and I think we're starting to lose that, and that's why I posed the question to you. I mean, I think the A-10, I think just like the Missouri Valley Conference, we have one bid. I think the AAC also had one bid. I mean, it's really pretty crazy to see how many of the lower divisions, lower conferences are not getting as many bids. I've been told by people who are on these expansion committees that if they do expand, that we're going to see more mid-majors. But, to me, talk is cheap. I want to actually physically see it so we have that opportunity to continue what is just an incredible sporting event for everyone. Because, as you have maybe even less than a casual fan that's all watching college basketball this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. And that you worry about the dispersion between the haves and the have-nots. And you think about George Mason made a run to the Final Four.
Yep.
Loyola Chicago made a run to the Final Four. St. Peter's made it to the second round. Like, is that going to still be possible with the NIL era that we're in, with the portal transfer? Or is just money going to just price everybody out of the business? And or do you just expand the tournament and hope that you have enough teams where the law of large numbers allows for some upsets to happen? But to make a deep run and beat these, well-funded SEC programs with general managers, unless something changes, I think that's the direction we're going.
The one thing that happened, and you know this, Scotty, is when you're talking about mid-major conferences, why they had the big upsets. We saw, you know, Northern Iowa knocking off Kansas and go right on down the line, is you had guys that were within that program for 2, 3, or even 4 years. And as you're pointing out, is with the portal and NIL, you're not even having these players at, in the mid-major level stay for more than a year. They're moving on because they're getting better deals with all the major conferences in the Power Four. And so you're having a little bit more of the separation, as you're, I think, alluding to, is the haves and the have-nots. And are we going to even have a Cinderella anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I love Florida. Like, I've watched Florida play a bunch. A lot of people have Florida winning national championship. I look at their backcourt, and their backcourt are starting guards, the starting guards from Belmont, from Iona, and Florida Atlantic. Those are the guys. Those guys played for 3 years there and then transferred to Florida, and now Florida's, you know, one of the favorites to win the whole thing. It just, it makes me sad for the programs that have developed, who recruited, identified, and developed these young men. And then, you know, 3, 4 years in, they get an upgrade and go somewhere else. It just kind of pains me as somebody who's a fan of the majors.
So who do you like in this, and who do you think may be the Cinderella story?
Man, the Cinderella story is always tough. I'm a little bit of a chalk guy. When you get deep in the tournament, I think, you know, you see the upsets early in the first and second round, but as you get deeper, it's harder to pick the upsets for me. I do, again, a little bit of a hometown bias in watching BCU a bunch in the A-10. Mm-hmm. I do like them,
yep,
because they've got experience, they've got size, they've got athleticism. I think they've got an interesting matchup with BYU and maybe Wisconsin to get to that second weekend. I don't know if they match up great with Alabama. You know, I think McNeese State is kind of interesting, you know, with Will Wade, who apparently may be taking the NC State job, but you know, McNeese State's got six guys that average double figures. Billiken fans will remember Cynthia Parker is one of those six players at McNeese State. It'll be interesting to see who can go deep. I tell you, the way North Carolina played last night, even though they were in the play-in game, I look at their next matchup. It, you know, could be against Iowa State, and then they could play Michigan State.
Right.
They've got enough talent. In the way that they're playing now, could they make a deep run?
What a story that would be.
I know. What were they, 1-12?
Yes.
Quad one games.
Yes.
But you know as well as I do, I mean, they've got the talent. I mean, they got plenty of talent. If they get that thing going like they did last night, I mean, they just blew San Diego State off the floor.
Man.
So we'll see. There's some other, you know, maybe first round games like Colorado State over Memphis and some stuff like that, like McNeese. I love St. Mary's, what Randy Bennett's done at St. Mary's. But when it gets down to it, it's hard to pick against the Auburns, the Floridas, the Houstons, the Alabamas. It's just the eye test is hard for me to do.
Very, very talented. Well, the Bills unfortunately had their season come to an end last night down in Jonesboro in the NIT. First season for Josh Schertz, a lot of excitement, and it was quite a turnaround from the season before that. Just your general thoughts on season one with Coach Schertz and company.
Well, if I think they've identified anything, it's that Coach Schertz has a system that's, A, it's really entertaining to watch.
Yep.
B, it's very defined, and so they know exactly the kind of kids that they got to recruit and to play that system. They've got to have high-skill kids that have some length with a high basketball IQ. So I am very encouraged by what I saw this year, and you know, it's just going to be a matter of can you get enough depth. This year they just did not have enough depth. They had a strong five as anybody probably in the A-10. But when your guys are playing 38, 40 minutes a night, doing it 34 times a year, you just can't sustain it. You get a conference tournament, you just can't do it. They did not have enough depth. So they're going to have to recruit well. They're going to have to get in the portal. They're going to have to add some depth. But in terms of the way that they play, the style and the way Coach Schertz thinks the game, I think it's fascinating. I think he's incredible, and I think if they get enough horses in the stable, they're going to win big at a high level soon. I really do.
It's really fun to watch, and I think what was interesting, the comments last night, Robbie came right on out after the game in the Zoom with the media and apologized to the media, which I think obviously is also a sigh of relief for a lot of Billiken fans, knowing that he's going to come back again for another year.
Yeah, and I mean, it just shows great leadership, and there are guys that are going to want to play with him that have watched him for 2 years. I mean, if I'm the next Gibson Jimerson, or I'm somewhere, and I go, I want to go play in a system that scores a bunch of points, that exploits my ability and my skill level, and play with somebody, with a guy like that, that can really pass it and super unselfish. I think playing with Robbie Avila in St. Louis and for Coach Church would be really, really interesting if I were looking for a place to play.
Yeah, you got a big like that that can distribute as well as score. That's huge for a team like that. And that has to be, like you mentioned, got to be something that's got to be appealing for a guy that maybe wants to get that opportunity, especially with the great pedigree that Josh Schertz has had year one in SLU, and of course what he did not only at Indiana State, but his incredible success at Lincoln Memorial for so many years before he went to Terre Haute. Scotty, always appreciate the time. We appreciate you taking the time out here tonight, and I know you'll be tuned in like the rest of us tomorrow watching basketball galore, buddy.
Will do, my friend. Always good to be with you, Scott. Thanks so much, my friend.
You got it. That is the Billiken Hall of Famer, Scott Highmark, talking some March Madness with us here on the Voice of St. Louis KMOX and your voice for Billiken basketball. All right, we'll change gears, talk some more baseball. Joe Strome from the St. Louis Cardinals is going to join us next. He's going to tell you about all the festivities going around on opening day, as well as the entire opening day weekend here in the Gateway City. So Joe from the Cardinals will join us next on KMOX.
Back on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX as opening day a week from tomorrow, as the Redbirds open up the 2025 campaign at Busch Stadium. And of course, the Cardinals will host the Twins. All kinds of pageantry, as we all know, on the holiest of holy days around here in St. Louis. And we'll have it covered for you on KMOX. Joe Strome, longtime senior vice president and ticket operations for the Cardinals, kind enough to join us. We're here, buddy. It's time. Opening day, bud.
It's crazy. The earliest opener in our history on March 27th. But the initial weather forecasts are looking like it's going to be gray weather. So the one thing we can't control, we'll control everything for that weekend, and that's the weather. But the initial forecast looks great. And opening day in St. Louis, it's special. That's all you can say.
Absolutely. You get all the red jackets. And, of course, I'm assuming we're going to get to see the Clydesdales again this year, correct?
You're exactly right. It all starts. Gates will open at noon on the opener. And then when we talk about, you want to be in your seats because the Clydesdales will come out at 2:30. So you want to get inside the ballpark early. I know the game starts at 3:15, but in the opener, you want to be there for the ceremonies. And it all starts around 2:30 when the Clydesdales will be on the warning track. And that's, to me personally, that's my highlight, is seeing those Clydesdales come out and start the season.
I think it's everybody's highlights. And, of course, we get to see Ozzie and all the great Cardinals that have played over these many, many years through the great experience of Cardinal baseball that generations have seen here in St. Louis. And there's still, I think you told me right before we started the interview, just there are some tickets still remaining for opening day, correct?
That is correct. We've sold over 45,000 tickets for the game already, but there still are tickets remaining, and so people can purchase tickets and come down. And I would tell people, if you have never experienced opening day at Busch Stadium, this is the year to come here. And it's not just come to the game. Get up early, come downtown in the morning, enjoy the activities going on around the ballpark. It's a great vacation day to take and just experience downtown St. Louis with the Cardinals back in town.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you've never been down here, you got to check it out. There's so many bands and so many activities going on in and around the stadium before the doors open up at high noon for opening day on March the 27th against the Minnesota Twins. And with an interleague play, you get the day off on Friday. But I know there's some other stuff, if Cardinal fans can't get down here on opening day, and you got some special giveaways and some fun stuff to go on the opening weekend.
Yeah, we have two afternoon games over the weekend. We usually play afternoon games early in the season because you never know quite about what the weather's going to be. So we have 1:15 games on March 29th and 30th. And on that Saturday, the giveaway is the Alec Burleson Ford truck bobblehead. It's a really pretty cool bobblehead. I know he saw it for the first time on the caravans this year and was amazed at how at the detail, and is excited himself to see it. It's always interesting to me seeing the players when they get their bobblehead. They're always so excited. I think their mom and dads are as well. And then on Sunday the 30th, is a great item for the adults, and it's a long sleeve hooded pullover, which I think fans are going to enjoy. And so I would encourage people to get down on opening day, but if you can't make it, come over the weekend, come down, see Busch Stadium again, and enjoy Cardinal baseball. I mean, it's going to be a fun season, and it all starts in just over a week.
And the team website, obviously, probably the best place to find whether it's tickets or promotions, correct?
Cardinals.com is the best way to look at everything Cardinals, best way to purchase your tickets and look at the promotional schedule for the entire year, look at the theme schedule for the entire year, and really just make your plans on coming down to Busch Stadium.
Now, I know there are a lot of KMOX listeners out there right now that, well, they probably heard Joe's voice, well, maybe a couple of times over these couple of years here talking about Cardinals and tickets and promotions or whatever. But what people may not know that I know from Mr. Joe Strome, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that Mr. Strome is a massive not only baseball fan, but college basketball fan. In fact, his two sons are part of college basketball. And, of course, the madness starts officially tomorrow. Of course, we have the play-in games, but we officially start tomorrow. Give me your take, just as a college basketball fan, what you think is going to happen here, not only this big weekend, but obviously for the next couple of weekends.
Well, it is my favorite time of the year, and really the next couple of days, the first rounds. I kind of joked with you off the air before we started. I was going to go with SIUE because I have so many friends over there that right. work at that university, and actually, unfortunately, my son is a coach at Southeast Missouri State, and they got upset by SIUE, but there's so many good people over at SIUE. But so I'm going to be excited to see them play. But the team I ended up picking was Duke. I don't think there's going to be a lot of upsets in the tournament this year. But I do think there's going to be a lot of great basketball played because there's a lot of good players on the top teams.
What about the other state schools that surround us here, as you know, Mizzou and Illinois? What are you looking forward to seeing out of them during this tournament?
I like both of those schools. I think both teams could make a run. I really do. I like their early matchups, and I think it's good for them, and I think both teams could make a long run, which how great would that be if we could get good runs out of Mizzou and Illinois. They both have been fun to watch this year. I know Illinois has been up and down with injuries, but both teams have been fun to watch.
I certainly hope, and you know, during you get this weekend, we have Cinderellas and great stories. I do hope on a national basis, whether it's any one of the Turner stations or CBS, that not only we get the great story of what happened with SIU Edwardsville, you know this, being from the area, moving from Division II to Division I and getting this first opportunity, but I think one of the other great stories when you talk about major programs is the turnaround that Mizzou had this year. I mean, they did not even win one game, if you include the one tournament game that they had last year. And what Dennis Gates has done is, I just think it's a great story what's happened in mid-Missouri.
The guy can just flat-out coach, yep. And he's a great person. And to see the way he's turned that program around, that's not easy. It isn't easy to turn a program around, especially in today's environment. And to have the team that he's had this year, is says so much about his ability to coach and recruit. It's great that we have that type of coach for the state school here in Missouri.
All right, so you're going with Duke as the national champion this year. First national championship without Coach K. That would be quite a story, I must say.
It would be a story. It also probably means if I picked them that they'll get upset early in the bracket is probably what it means.
That's what normally by the third day, my picks are already in the trash can.
I had someone in the office that's not a basketball fan at all that filled out a bracket, and she said she had one goal, and that was to beat me. And I said, that probably will happen easily in the bracket.
Normally does me too, Joe. Buddy, always great to catch up with you. Appreciate the information on opening day and opening weekend. Looking forward to it. The holiest of holy days coming up in a week from tomorrow. It's pretty awesome. And we'll see you on opening day, bud.
We will see you. Look forward to seeing everybody back at the ballpark. That's what's cool. Seeing everyone excited on opening day. And it's hard to believe a week from tomorrow.
It is Joe Strome, as we appreciate Joe joining us here on KMOX, the vice president, head of ticket sales, and it will be a huge day again, a week from Thursday, and coverage here on KMOX going way early in the morning. Tom Ackerman's going to be visiting with Vince Coleman at like 8 a.m. Why don't you just go down, take the whole day off, have a nice day down at Ballpark Village and all across Busch Stadium there. And as Joe mentioned, they will open up the gates at noon and 2:30, right on the dot at 2:30 is when the Clydesdales will make their arrival again for opening day at Busch Stadium. All right, quick break here on Graybar Sports Open Line. Scott Warman with you on this Wednesday, and we'll wrap this puppy up when we come back.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Scott Warman in for Matt Pauley one final time. Kyle Sixta taking care of things here. Thank you, buddy, for all your help, and appreciate everyone for hanging in on this edition, this Wednesday edition of the Graybar Sports Open Line. Appreciate all of our guests, Brad Thompson, Joey Vitale, Scott Highmark, and Joe Strome from the St. Louis Cardinals. And again, today, if you didn't catch it, Cardinals won 7-1 over the Washington Nationals, and really the headliners in this spring training game today, which there's only a few left, a couple of headliners. Steven Matz looked good again. He goes six innings. He only gives up four hits and one earned run. So things seem to be shaping into form for Steven Matz as we get the 2025 season rolling here in just over a week. As far as the offense is concerned, Alec Burleson had a home run. And as I mentioned earlier in the first hour, if you didn't catch it, watching some of the game today on our FanDuel Sports Network station, Burley was playing first base, and I'm telling you what, he had some great picks. He looked smooth out there. I know it's Wilson Contreras's job, but you know, if Wilson's got a day or he's going to just DH, I think the Cardinals are in really good hands from Alec Burleson's standpoint of coming in and filling the bill for Wilson Contreras. And Victor Scott II hit another home run. He had a pair of hits in the Cardinals victory, and I know that's a lot of big topic of conversations with so many talking heads talking Cardinal baseball, bloggers, writers, radio hosts, you name it. And what's going to happen with Victor Scott II, because everything he's done, as Brad Thompson pointed out to us in our conversation in the first hour of the program of Sports Open Line, was the fact that look, there's nothing that Victor Scott the second has done that has earned him an opportunity not to play with the club. It's a numbers game. And we've talked about this for, I don't know how many years I've been doing even some sports talk radio for 20 plus years, is the fact that the numbers game, it doesn't add up. You're sitting in the shoes and you're like, man, this kid's playing great baseball, but we've got the numbers game where we got Gorman over at second. We've got Donovan's got to go into left field, which means Newt has got to be in center field. You got Walker in right field. So are we going to just have Victor Scott, who's earned the right to be on the 26-man roster, but he's not going to play, and send down a guy like Michael Ciani? Or do you send Victor Scott the second down to Memphis and still get him his ABs and keep his rhythm going and keep him going game in and game out until you kind of you know there's going to be injuries? It's just part of the game that he's going to get probably one of the first opportunities. And I think, unfortunately for him, it's a numbers game right now that doesn't work into his favor. But, you know, not only talking to Brad, but, you know, some of the other guys that have been down in spring training, Chip Carey, John Rooney, Ricky Horton, they all, and I know they speak to Ollie Marmol on a daily basis of all, and Ollie's been very impressed with how they have seen the improvement of Victor Scott II, and I think he has an incredible bright future. And I think the other thing that everyone's been talking about is, you know, are you going to go to a six-man rotation? As Brad pointed out, if you just kind of look at this schedule, there's a lot of days off for the Cardinals in the opening 2-3 weeks of the season. So if you go to a six-man rotation, guys are going to, they're going to get the extra day off, but now they're going to get two extra days off. And does that get them off their rhythm a little bit? And especially when you look at a guy like Michael McGreevy, obviously he's the name that would be the sixth man of the rotation. Or do you kind of flip-flop him as long relief slash a starter from time to time? And I think McGreevy, like Brad pointed out, is going to be a numbers game as well. I think because especially you've seen what Matz has been able to do, you've got your five-man rotation set up that McGreevy's probably better off being the leader or so-called leader of the Memphis rotation to start things. Because, again, as we know, there's going to be injuries, and McGreevy's definitely going to be the first pitcher that's going to be called up from AAA Memphis, barring some unforeseen circumstances. I like the young man. Again, I know it was only a couple starts last year and a throwaway game, last game of the year, but I really and truly like his stuff, and I think the Cardinals really have something to look forward to. The other thing that I know of, unfortunately, I didn't make it down to spring training this year, but talking to all of those guys is the future. In fact, I was talking to some folks that were working the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament from down in Springfield and Missouri State, and I told them, I said, the people I know that have been down in Florida, if he's in Double-A, go watch J.J. Weatherholt. He's not going to last very long, but they literally tell me the sound of the ball coming off his bat is something that is completely different. I think the Cardinals may have wound up getting a special, special project in the drafting of J.J. Weatherholt last year. And I think, you know, if he's down in Springfield or those folks down in Memphis, you're going to watch you get an opportunity to see a special, special player. As we start opening day, it is just a week away from Thursday. And we'll have Cardinal baseball coming up this weekend with John Rooney and Ricky Horton on Saturday and Sunday. Folks, thanks so much for joining us here on Sports on the Line, brought to you by Graybar.